They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Do you really want to know how financial markets did in the first half of this year now that we've passed the midpoint? I'm David Brancaccio. There's a tradition in some parts of the world where you say that you are sorry to show empathy, even if you had nothing to do with a misfortune. In that tradition, I'm so sorry, given what the stock market may have done to you. With the first half of the year come and gone now, I can report it was an historically awful first half for stock prices, with the S&P down 21%. Let's go in depth on what we've been through and where we're going with Christopher Lowe. He's the chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
I think I'm older than you, Chris, but when it comes to the S&P 500, you ever see anything like this in your life?
Apparently, yes. When I was about 5 years old, you know, back in 1970, we had a first half start that was even a little worse than this.
All right. Now, this was every sector in the first half of the year, banking, consumer, retail, you name it, everything but energy companies, given the high fuel prices. But what did this to us? Inflation, Federal Reserve, Vladimir Putin?
All of the above. Absolutely. You know, inflation first and foremost. It was supposed to be transitory, remember, and obviously it isn't. In terms of the Fed, yeah, they first prepared us for what they said were going to be fairly steady but not aggressive rate hikes to, oh my goodness, steady and aggressive rate hikes. And then on top of that, these consistent updates over the course of the half that, oh no, the terminal rate of interest rates is going to have to be higher than we thought. And it was that combo. And ultimately, in the last month, the realization that the Fed chair is determined to hike rates, even if we have a recession, you can see why it would be devastating to risk assets.
Let's turn our attention, Chris, to the bond market. The benchmark interest rate, the yield on the government's 10-year note, dropped sharply this week, meaning people were buying that note and other bonds. What's that bet?
What people are thinking is, okay, the Fed has prepped us for interest rates they say are going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 4% next year. And 4% for some brief period of time, maybe a year or two, and then start to move lower. That's what's reflected in 10-year note yields today. So I think the question you have to ask yourself, as 10-year notes are rallying on increasing signs of the likelihood of recession, and of course, recession is historically a great inflation tamer, you have to ask yourself, okay, the Fed initially led us to expect rates were going to 2 or 2.5. Now they've repriced it to 3, 3.5 by the end of this year and 4% next year. Are they going to tell us 5? Because if they are, then we've got another wave of selling ahead of us. If they're not, then we've seen peak yields.
Now, we should be clear, bonds during the first half of this year were no safe haven. They smelled up the place too, even though maybe you wouldn't yourself phrase it that way.
No, I absolutely would. You know, the first quarter sell-off in bonds was very nearly the biggest ever. No, we were absolutely pummeled in the first 4 months of the year. Last month wasn't any great shakes either. It's been really tough. And the reason is that investors have had less foresight into inflation and the Fed this time than they have in a very long time. In a way, that's a bit ironic because, of course, the Fed is communicating better than it ever has in the past. The problem is that, just like all the rest of us economists, the Fed has been caught by surprise by events this year, and their forecasting hasn't been very good either.
We call him the professor, although he's not a professor. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
I will say that stocks tend to be much better in the second half of years that have lousy first halves. But what do they say so fast after the mutual fund ads? Past performance is no indication of future results.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
European Union legislators have hammered out a provisional deal on a bill to regulate cryptocurrency. The legislation's aimed at protecting consumers and preventing the laundering of money. The rules are seen as some of the first in the world to try to take on regulating crypto in a comprehensive way, and it could be a model here in the U.S. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
The bill would require companies that issue or trade cryptocurrencies to give consumers detailed information on the cost, charges, and risks of crypto. Cryptocurrency companies would also need a license to issue and sell digital tokens in the EU. They would have to disclose how much energy they use and post information on their carbon footprint. Stablecoins like Tether, whose value is supposed to be pegged to another asset like the dollar, would have to keep enough reserves on hand to handle mass withdrawals. To cut down on money laundering, crypto transfers involving unhosted private wallets would need to be reported if they're over 1,000 euros. The legislation still has to be approved by the European Parliament and EU states. It would not cover non-fungible tokens or NFTs. The EU will decide if they need regulation in the next 18 months. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
I told you about stocks and bonds in the first half of the year. So what then? Beanie Babies? Ancient Roman coins? Right now, the price of Bitcoin is below $20,000. Bitcoin has lost more than half of its value since the start of the year. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.